Welcome to the Writing Well Podcast. I'm your host, Stacy, and every second and fourth Saturday of the month, tune in as we interview indie and traditional authors from across the social media writing communities of Instagram and Twitter. We hope you'll enjoy this episode and find some great reads to add to your to-be-read list this season. And welcome to the season 7 debut of the Writing Wall Podcast. I'm your host, Stacy, and we have a very special guest as our season opener. Her name is Laura Whitfield, and her award-winning book is titled Untethered. Laura grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and is the daughter of a journalist and a teacher. She's been an advertising copywriter, newspaper columnist, staff writer for an international relief agency, travel writer, blogger, teacher, communications director for several nonprofits, and a personal assistant to a New York Times bestselling author. Welcome to season 7. Thank you for being with us, Laura.
Thanks, Stacy. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Share with listeners a little about yourself.
I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and lived in the Triangle most of my life, but I currently live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Share with listeners what Untethered is about.
Untethered is a memoir. It's a coming-of-age memoir, and it begins with the death of my 23-year-old brother. I was 14 at the time. He was mountain climbing in Scotland. He was in Edinburgh getting a degree in William Blake, getting a master's. He joined the mountain climbing club when he got to Edinburgh and was climbing Ben Nevis, which is the tallest mountain in Scotland, and fell 1,000 feet to his death. And I was 14, as I said, and he was just everything to me. I just adored him. It really just shattered our family life and mine as well. And so Untethered is about my losing my way, moving to North Carolina's Outer Banks and falling in love with a handsome DJ, going back to college for a year, being miserable, and then a year later following him to New York and trying my hand at becoming a cover girl, then failing at that and coming home and just sort of eventually finding my way. But it's my story about just overcoming grief and finding hope again.
What moment made you decide to write this story?
I had been writing all of my life. I've been a copy editor and a copywriter and a newspaper columnist. I've worked for nonprofits. So I've been writing all my life. And years ago, I actually wrote a book about how to prepare your child for kindergarten. And I serialized it in the Durham Herald Sun in Durham, North Carolina. So I actually had written a book, but it was in newspaper form. But I'd always wanted to write a book, and I have twins. And one of my daughters one day said, "Mom, you've had an interesting life. You should write about it." So I gave that some thought, and I had always wanted to write the story of my brother and our family's story after that. And I had been a kindergarten teacher for 15 years in Durham, and when I finally retired and met my husband, retired and moved to Winston-Salem to get married and retired from teaching, I started writing memories. And I did that for a year or so. And I told my husband, "I'm not really sure this is a book." And he said, "Well, why don't you hire a writing coach?" So I did that. I hired someone named Brooke Warner, who ended up becoming my coach and also my publisher with She Writes Press. She helped me for 2.5 years, and we worked on the memoir together. And so I finally got it written.
How long did it take you to write Untethered?
Yeah, we started in January of 2017, and I finished in March of 2019. So a little over 2 years.
Was there anything that you left out of the book that you can share with readers?
Wow. It was a very long book, and I needed it to be under 100,000 words, and I believe at the time it was around 110. So I had an amazing copy editor, and she cut out about 10,000 words, and honestly, she did such a good job that when I got it back, I could only remember one scene where when I was in New York, I went to have coffee with a friend of mine. I only had 50 cents in my pocket, and I spent it on a cup of coffee, and that was cut out, and it was a very insignificant scene, but I really didn't remember anything else she cut. She did an amazing job. But really, the story is pretty much the way I wrote it.
What were the easiest and the hardest parts for you to write about?
I think the hard part, the opening part about my brother was hard. It made me sad to write it, just to remember that time. And both of my parents are gone now. I still have a brother. He was our middle brother, and we're very close. He lives near the Outer Banks. But, writing about just that season in our life when my brother died, waiting for his remains to be returned to the States, and the funeral, and then my mom went into a 5-year depression after that, and just how sad I was. That was hard. And then when I moved to the beach, those chapters were sort of fun to write. That was a happy time. I made friends there. I had a fun job just being at the beach for the summer. It was the first time I had been away from home and lived out on my own and was sort of having my first big adventure. I guess I was 18 at the time, but the whole beach thing was a lot of fun to write. But then going to New York, and as I started to self-sabotage, and living in New York was very difficult. The modeling industry was brutal, and writing about all that and then coming home and dealing with some of my choices that I made after I got home, those things were hard.
What is something you wish you had known before publishing your first book?
I spent a long time taking memoir classes. I had a great mentor in Brooke, and I read a lot of memoir, and I took a lot of webinars with other memoirists and other authors. So I honestly feel like I was pretty prepared for the author world. I also had the great privilege of being a personal assistant to Jan Caron, who was a New York Times bestselling author of the Mitford series, and I learned a lot from her. She was coming through with her books sort of in the old age of publishing, back in the, I guess, in the early 90s, and, she worked with Penguin, and it was just a different time then. There was no Amazon, there was no online anything. We didn't have computers back then. Our correspondence was done by phone or through letter writing. But I watched her and how she sold her books and how she was with booksellers, and I just learned from the best. So I just decided, when I become an author, I want to treat people the way she treated people, which was just really lovely. So I feel really blessed that I had a teacher like her, a mentor like her, and yeah, I've had a pretty good experience because of that, because I think I was really prepared.
Let's talk book cover for a moment, because your cover is lovely. Is that you in the photo?
Oh, thank you, Stacey. Well, that's me. When I got ready to go to New York, Steve, the guy that I was dating, that I fell in love with, that I was following to New York, he told me that he had had his pictures made by a photographer at the Outer Banks, and his name was Ray Matthews. So Ray was actually a friend of my brother Horace's, so I called him, and he agreed to take some photos. So we did these photos in Nag's Head right before I went to New York, and I love these photos so much. So when I got ready to do my cover design, my designer said, "Oh, well, you're a model. Do you have any photos?" And I immediately pulled 3 or 4 that Ray had taken. And this is the one we landed on. This is really my favorite. There was another one that some people liked, but I always love this one because I'm looking wistfully into the future. I remember the moment that shot was taken, and I was thinking about New York. I was thinking about Steve and what did the future hold? And so when I look at it, I remember that girl and that moment, and it's really special to me. And I'll tell you a little story about the photo. Ray actually passed away about a year ago, and he was just a really beloved Outer Banks photographer. But I heard he was very sick, and so I think I sent him a priority mail package with my book, and he and his wife read it pretty quickly, and he sent me a lovely email and just told me how much he enjoyed reading about the people that back in the old days, just how much fun we all had and some of the people that we both knew. And I wrote him back, and I told him, I said, "Ray, you finally made me a cover girl." And so that made him really happy to hear that. So
what do you hope readers take away after having read Untethered?
I really tried to write as raw as I could. I really poured myself into each scene, and I dropped down into the scenes and tried to be present. So my hope is that when readers read my book, they'll just be brought into my story and they'll feel like they're there walking with me through it. And also, I think every person, as you know, comes to a book with their own history, and they picked up a book for a reason, and they're reading it because this is what they hoped they need right now. So, or that's why I read books. And I hope that each person that comes to it finds something. I mean, there's a lot about grief, there's about young love, there's about failure, there's about aging parents, mental health issues, mistakes I made, bad choices I made, and faith coming, you know, returning back to my faith, finding some ground. It's about getting pregnant with twins. So there's a lot in it, you know, there's a little bit for everybody. So I just hope people find something in there that they can connect with.
Besides writing, what are some other activities that you enjoy personally?
I have a book addiction, for sure. In fact, my husband and I were talking about that this morning, but I just keep buying books, and I know I'll never get them all read, but I love it. I read whenever I can. I usually have 3 or 4 books going. I enjoy being outside. We live by a lake, and we have a rescue dog, and so I enjoy walking him and being outside, going on hikes. We love to travel. You know, we love to go to Europe when we can. Haven't done that for a while, but just enjoy traveling, visiting friends. We have a grandson, and I have 3 daughters and 2 sons-in-law, so enjoy being with my kids whenever I can, and seeing my brother, and just being with family. That's really it. I'm kind of a homebody. I'm working on another book, so I need to stay home and do things like that. Also involved in some, I do some social justice of things around our community. I'm involved in a church for housing insecure and homeless people, involved there, and worked for a couple of years on an eviction hotline. So just try to help out and give back.
Are you working on another book? And if so, what can you share with our listeners?
I'm actually working, it's a memoir, but it's more of a prescriptive memoir, I guess. It has more about my faith journey over the past 5 or 6 years, sort of coming out of for many years being part of a very conservative Christian tradition, and then going through the pandemic, and then sort of regrouping and sort of thinking about how am I going to live differently when this is over, given all that we've all witnessed and gone through, and just how the world had changed after it. And so I was starting to think about, you know, do I want to feed the hungry or clothe the naked or visit the prisoner, and what do I do? And these doors started opening with homelessness. So I met a woman who had a festival for the homeless in our town and got to be friends with her. And then I heard about this eviction hotline and I started volunteering there, and then I was looking for a new church, and one day I opened my computer and I found out about this church for people that were homeless. So I started attending 2 years ago. That's my life now. Homelessness is my calling, so, and this is my community. So I'm writing about that journey, and I'm really enjoying it. I've finished my book proposal, and I'm into chapter 4, and I hope to start sending my book proposal out pretty soon to agents, and hopefully get that shopped out.
What advice would you give to someone who is looking to publish?
I will tell you what I was told when I asked Jan many years ago. I said, yeah, what's the secret to being a writer? And she said, I was probably in my 20s at the time. She said, you have to put your bottom in the chair and write. And that seems like such an obvious thing, but I think that's the hardest thing for people to actually do. I read recently that 81% of people say they have a book in them, but only 1% actually finish a book. And, you know, I thought, well, I wanted to be part of the 1%. And then when I was about to turn 60, I went to hear Anne Lamott speak at a liberal arts college not far from here. And that night, the auditorium was full, and she was looking out over the crowd of mostly middle-aged people. And she said, you're running out of time. And I sort of, well, thanks a lot, Anne. I know I am. And I had been sitting down writing memories for many months, but that's when I was feeling like my wheels were spinning. I didn't know if it was a book or if it was cohesive or, you know, if anyone would read it. And that's when my husband said, why don't you hire a coach? So I went home, I put what I'd written in a drawer, and I just started writing Untethered, basically. And so I really attribute that to her. She's really the one who got me going. I mean, it kind of scared me a bit. I thought, yeah, you know, I want to write a book, and if I don't start now, you know, none of us knows how long we have. And I thought, I really want to do this. And so I got focused and I finished, and now I want to keep going. I have a lot of things I want to write now that I've gotten started.
Where can listeners follow you and find your book, Untethered?
I have a website, laurawhitfield.com. It's WHITFIELD, and I have all my socials there, mostly at Instagram. I love Instagram, but I have a Facebook page, and I'm also on Twitter. There's a page about my book. Some of my blurbs are there and the awards I've won, and then also a bio and upcoming events, that kind of thing, and some of my media things I've done in the past. So that's the best place to find me.
Now, right here on the Writing Wall podcast, Laura Whitfield is going to read an exclusive excerpt from her book, Untethered.
This is the very end of chapter one, after my brother has passed away, my old brother. After he lived in Edinburgh, so they sent all his belongings to us in a large wooden crate, and that had arrived like a few months after he passed away. So we had put the crate up in the attic, and this is a few months after that, so I'm home by myself. I just wanted to give a little context. Several months later, I was home alone. Mama and Daddy were out running errands, and the house was quiet. I wandered up to the attic, as I often did, to poke around objects and through boxes, hoping to find some unexpected treasure. As I made my way past the brick chimney, I noticed the large wooden crate. I walked over and opened the lid. Everything was just the way we'd left it the day we discovered Lawrence's journals. On top was a small box filled with the things Lawrence had in his pocket the day he fell. A lapel pin with a white dove holding an olive branch, a silver whistle, and a few British coins. Under the box were several Oxford cloth shirts, like the ones he used to pay me a quarter to iron. I picked up a blue one, held it to my face, and breathed in. After all this time, it still smelled like Lawrence in English leather, his favorite cologne. I'd barely been holding it together, and now the tears began to flow. Laura, I heard Daddy call from downstairs. My parents were back. I lifted my face, knowing I should answer, but I didn't. I didn't want to break the spell. I left the attic door cracked. They'll figure it out. I pressed my face into the cloth and breathed in deeply, desperate to bring Lawrence back to life. Wasn't this lingering scent a sign that he was still here, that he left the room and would soon return? I felt a hand on my shoulder and looked up, hopeful. It was Daddy. "You okay?" he asked gently. I didn't answer. I just pulled Lawrence's shirt to my face and cried.
Laura, thank you so much for being part of our Season 7 and for being our opener. We really encourage everyone to find and follow Laura Whitfield on social media and her book, Untethered.
Thank you, Stacy. This has been really fun. I've enjoyed talking with you.
Catch our Season 7 August lineup in our What's Your Story newsletter located on our website. You can visit us on at The Writing Wall on Twitter, at WritingsOnTheWall85 on Instagram for our link tree to all of our platforms. And be sure to tune in next Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a very special guest. Beth Jordan is here with us talking about her book, Thank You for the Kiss. Don't forget to drop by our Buy Me a Coffee page to hear an exclusive extra from all of our Season 7 authors. That's www.buymeacoffee.com/The Writing Wall. Because we all have a story, The Writing Wall podcast wants to hear yours. What is your story? Good evening and welcome to this episode of the Writing Wall Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Hawks, and I'm here with our Season 5 and Season 6 partner and founder of Tea with Coffee Media, Tyler Witkowski. Welcome, Tyler, and thank you for being part of our Season 6.
Thanks, Stacey. It's a pleasure to be here again, and I'm glad to be speaking with you.
Tyler, you are also an indie author. Share with listeners a little about yourself, your books, and the genre you write.
Yeah, so I'm actually a multi-genre author. My first book was a young adult kind of psychological thriller, I guess you could say. It was based on a story of struggling with mental health, bipolar, anxiety, and depression, kind of loosely based on some of my experience with those topics. I also have a poetry collection and a romance series that I've started, Sunflower Kisses. The first book was The Seeds of Love, based on a young couple who are in a long-distance relationship and their struggles and obstacles they have to overcome, as well as his mental illness and his other different points of view that help that prevent him from moving forward and taking commitments to that next level. It is told from the male's point of view, so it is a little bit of a different twist on the romance, but that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to give something different and show that, you know, men could be emotional too, that they were allowed to have these feelings and enjoy love and be in love and do these sweet romantic things and be told from his point of view.
Let's talk about your latest venture, Tea with Coffee Media. Where did the idea for the name come from?
So my last name is Witkowski. Back in high school, you know, of course, kids can't pronounce anything, you know, while they're in high school. And my last name was no exception. So I got called so many different things. And the one thing that stuck with me was Witkoff. So that kind of became my handle for all of my social media was T_Witkoffee, because T was the first initial for my first name. And eventually I expanded on that once I came up with the publishing company. I was like, okay, so, you know, it's like tea with coffee. So I kind of put those nomenclatures together and, you know, created something that was based off of my name. And we've kind of branched out into different divisions using the with coffee name. But yeah, it comes from my name.
How was Tea with Coffee Media for Indie Authors formed? And what services are you offering to aspiring authors and writers?
We were a group of authors, Caitlin Kalor, Kelsey Ann Lovelady, Victoria Moxley, my wife, and myself. We all came together, and it's been a dream of mine to be able to write and help other people make a living writing. And, you know, me and my team, you know, and I say that because my team and I stand beside each other. You know, there is no I'm in front of them. We're all on equal ground. And I love my team to death, because without them, we wouldn't be here. But we want it to help authors be able to succeed. We want it to help authors who didn't have the social media following, who didn't have the funds that may have been needed to get things like editing and get things like cover design and formatting and publishing services. We want it to help them have an outlet where, number one, we offer affordable services for editing, book formatting, book marketing, cover design services. We offer all of that to anybody, no matter if they're published by us or not. But the authors that we publish, we had a dream of making it to where they didn't pay a dime out of pocket. There are so many vanity presses out there who are charging authors to publish their books, and that's just not who we are. We cover the expenses for everything. We cover the editing costs, the marketing costs, the formatting, the book cover design. That's all covered by us. Our authors don't pay a dime out of pocket. They make money with us. They don't spend money. And those are the authors that are signed by us. But even if we have people who aren't signed by us, you know, when people submit to us, we try to give them honest feedback and tell them ways that they can improve. You know, 95% of the time, we don't send rejections the first time around. We send revise and resubmit offers. So basically what that is we say, hey, here's what we see wrong with your story. Try to fix those things, resubmit it to us, because we want to see it. We see the potential in your story. And even then, if it's still not a good fit for us, we still try to recommend them to another publisher or pass their information along to another publisher, because our goal is simply to help authors make a living writing. There are so many good stories out there that are being told that just aren't being heard, and that's where we come into play.
How can others contribute or support Tea with Coffee Media? Do you have like a Buy Me a Coffee page they can visit?
We don't. We actually, you know, the biggest way people can support us is to join our Tea with Coffee Club or to purchase our books. We have merch on our website, hoodies, coffee mugs, things of that sort. And we just, you know, that is the best way to support us is by going out and spending 20, 30, 40 bucks to buy a book, to buy a shirt, and wear our logo and start a conversation with somebody to say, hey, what is that logo from? Or, hey, I like your shirt, the back of your shirt. Where'd you get it from? You know, because that's really our biggest thing is the conversation. We want to start the conversation behind what we are, who we are, and how we got here.
What has been the biggest challenge you've had while creating your own self-publishing business?
I think the biggest struggle so far has just been, you know, like with writing, the marketing, getting out, marketing yourself, and not only marketing yourself, but marketing all these other books. There's a lot of pressure on that. You know, we've got a lot of people on our team who are relying on us and counting on us and just making sure that we're doing the best job possible when we're marketing these books, when we're creating these promotions. That to me is probably the biggest struggle because I want to get it just right. I want to get everything perfect for these authors because that's what they deserve. And, you know, I pick things apart to the very nitty gritty whenever it comes down to it. And, you know, it's just because I want it right for these authors. I want to give them what they deserve and help them achieve what their goals are.
So you've partnered with some great people in the writing community like the Write Words podcast. Who are some other Tea with Coffee partners that visitors to your website may find listed?
Yeah, so we've got quite a few partners on our website that we partner with, and we're open to partners, anybody who's listening who has a blog, podcast, TikTok, anything book related that they could use to help promote our authors, we're open to adding. But some of our partners are 30 Dirty and Dying podcast, Beck's Books and More, The Bookaholics, Creekside Chat with Sherry Hollister, Haley Walsh, Lazy Creativity, The Mythology Manifest, Pinned In, Reading Writing Rebellion, The Right Words Podcast, like you mentioned, The Writing Community Chat Show, and our most recent partner is Scribbleworth's Book Reviews. They have a magazine and do book reviews, so that was a pretty cool partner for us to gain on our side. So we have a very diverse mix of podcasters, YouTubers, bloggers, magazines, and TikTokers even. So we're open to anybody who's wants to help promote indie authors.
How many authors do you currently have as part of Tea with Coffee Media?
Oh, wow. I think we're right at 10 if we're not at 10 yet.
Podcasts also seem to be in your future as well. Back Porch, Parlay, and a few others. What is the best way for our listeners to hear more from you, Tyler?
Follow my social channels. I'm at Tyler Witkowski, WITTKOFSKY, on pretty much any platform I have. So that's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. I think I have a Pinterest. Don't quote me on that, but I have a YouTube as well. So follow me on any of those. I post pretty regularly on most things. Instagram has been kind of my hot platform lately where I post a lot of my content. So check it out on there. I always cross post my content from Back Porch Parlay, and I'll do the same with the Cook the Books podcast, which I'm starting for the publishing company with Kelsey Ann Lovelady, and the Adventure with Coffee blog where my wife and I are traveling across the country.
That sounds like it'll be an amazing road trip. Will it just be a few months, or would you say you'll be doing some traveling a little longer?
I just left my job and have started doing kind of my own thing, focusing on the publishing company and podcasting and blogging and doing some freelance work. My wife works remotely, so we're going to start traveling. We bought an RV and we're going to travel across the country and try to hit all 50 states by the time we're 50 and maybe even hit, you know, the provinces in Canada and countries down in South America too, eventually. But yeah, so we're going to start traveling more and blogging our adventures.
What would you say are your writing and publishing goals for this year?
For 2023, I would say my writing goal is to finish. I've got the second book for the Sunflower Kisses series started. I want to finish that and have it published in 2023. I'm also working on a co-authored book with Kelsey Ann Lovelady. It is a modern day retelling of the Oberon and Titania Midsummer's Dream retelling. So we're excited about that. We hope to have that done and published in 2023. As for the publishing company, we're working on a mental health anthology where a portion of the proceeds will be donated to a mental health charity. We're not going to say who just yet. We're still working on finalizing some details, but that should be calls for that should be coming out in early 2023. So we're excited about that. And our goal is to publish a book every month for the year of 2023 and, promote as many authors as possible and raise as many voices as possible.
Tyler, thank you so much for joining us for season 6. We really appreciate your time this evening and discussing your new publishing company, Tea with Coffee Media, and for being a partner with the Writing Wall podcast.
Thank you, Stacy, and I'm glad to be part of it.
If you haven't already, catch Tyler's season 6 extra on our Buy Me a Coffee page, buymeacoffee.com/thewritingwall. You can also catch more information and his links on our blog. And be sure to visit Tea with Coffee Media online for more information. We have one more episode in our season 6. The season 6 finale will feature Judith Turner Yamamoto, award-winning author, and her debut novel, Loving the Dead and Gone. You can catch Judith's full interview here with us on April 22nd at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and her Buy Me a Coffee extra that same day at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because everyone has a story, the Writing Wall podcast wants to hear yours. What is your story? Thank you for tuning into the Writing Wall podcast. This podcast is a partner with Tea with Coffee Media and Scribblesworth. Because we all have a story, the Writing Wall podcast wants to hear yours. What is your story?